Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. I would like to consider the words of Psalm 113 with you this morning, and if you'd like to have your hymnal open and follow along, you may certainly do so. Again, the words of this psalm: Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust, he lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. This is our text. Please be seated. Remember when the words King of the Hill referred to a childhood game and not to this long-running, minimally animated, nationally syndicated Fox television show about a propane salesman and his family who live in Texas? For me, growing up, King of the Hill was a game that we usually played in the winter months, in which one person would climb to the top of these wonderful little snow mountains that were created when they plowed the church driveway. And of course, the king's job at the top of the mountain was to try to hold on to his place while everybody else was trying to take him down. And so it was one of those power struggle kinds of games. And there was often a boy there in our neighborhood who would play this game. And whenever he played, it was very difficult. He was always at the top and nobody could take him down. His name was Jim Meeker. We called him Moose Meeker around the neighborhood. And maybe that gives you an idea why he was so difficult to bring down. He was a large fellow. And in all of the games of King of the Hill that I ever played with Moose, I never once remember him reaching down from his lofty, frosty mountaintop grandeur to give me a hand and to pull me up to him with him, to be with him. He had one clear objective, and Moose Meeker did it very well, and that was to maintain his spot of position of power and prestige and glory, and to keep everybody else off. The only hand that you ever got from Moose Meeker was a hand right to the chest, as he pushed you right back down to the bottom of the mountain. On a sad note, just six, eight months ago or so, we learned that Jim Meeker, died suddenly of, I think, a heart attack, leaving his wife and his children behind. He's just a couple years older than I am, and came as a sad piece of news that one of our neighborhood buddies had passed away, that this King of the Hill, indomitable King of the Hill, had now succumbed to the enemy of us all. The enemy which, thankfully, Christ has defeated for us. But I digress. This childhood game that we used to play, King of the Hill, is really a metaphor, isn't it? For a game that we see going on among relationships in this fallen world all around us. Just look around you. It seems like almost everybody is playing this game with one another, jockeying, positioning themselves, trying to get the power. And so a husband will not love his wife as Christ loved the church, as he should. And instead, he wants to dominate and rule her, and she resists that. And you end up with a marriage that is something like a game of King of the Hill, where each is always trying to push the other and dethrone them and get the power and the glory in the relationship. Or a fellow worker is clawing his way up the corporate ladder and will do anything to get there, regardless of what he might do to other people on the way. Siblings fight in order to try to establish dominance, I suppose, or whatever it is that they fight for. Politicians do terrible things to try to get political power from their opponents. Everywhere you look around you, people are still playing this game. It's not just a childhood game, is it? But adults are playing this game too. Always looking for the power, always looking for the angle to gain the advantage. And it even happens in the church, where you think we would know better. Alliances are formed. Secret strategies are enacted. People are propagandized, all because somebody wants to get to the top, the pinnacle of power and influence. So is it any wonder that apart from his revelation of himself in the Word, we would assume that God works in the same kind of way? Isaiah said, "The Lord is high and lifted up, and he trembled at the sight." Job felt like God was far removed from him in his suffering. And he said, "Is not God high in the heavens?" And apart from the revelation of God of himself and his Word, that's where we would be as well. That's all we would know about God, that he is high and mighty and lifted up. Like the animistic religions in the world who believe that God is far, far away from them. There is one African tribe that tells the story of one woman who was pounding yams with a long-handled pestle, and one time on the upstroke she went too high and she poked a hole in the sky, and God got angry at her and all the human race, and he moved away, far, far away, and hasn't been seen since then. You have the deists, like many of our country's founding fathers, who think of God as a watchmaker. He makes the watch, he winds it up, and then he sets it down, and he just lets it run. He's not involved in it anymore. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't love it. He just lets it go. He is too far above it all to really care. After all, what does the King of the Hill have to do with all of us little peons down here? We're just an annoyance to him, aren't we? And even the psalmist struggled with that question when he asked, "What is man, O Lord? What is man that you are mindful of him?" And it seems that for a few verses in Psalm 113, the psalmist is going to reach the same conclusion. He says, "The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high?" Typical, isn't it? Typical of all the religions of the world. God is high up there somewhere, lifted up above it all. He is glorious in his majesty, but what does he really care about us down here? But it's when we come to the next few verses that we come across a real surprise in this psalm. Where he goes on to say, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down," or as the NIV says, "who stoops down from the heavens to look at us upon earth." And all of a sudden we've reached a turning point in this psalm. What's so remarkable about the Lord our God, what calls forth his praise in this psalm, is not that he is so high and lifted up, but that from those heights of his glory, he has stooped so low to take a look at us, to take an interest in us, and to help us in our need. It would be something like Moose Meeker reaching down from his frosty, lofty, snow mountaintop glory to give a hand to one of us and to pull us up to be with him. Yeah, he would never do that. But this is the glory of our God. The glory for which Psalm 113 calls forth the praises of our God. Sure, it is awesome for us to think about God high and lifted up and in majesty and seated upon his throne and sovereign over all of the nations of the earth, such as he does in verses 4 and 5. But what does any of that really mean to us if not for verses 6 through 9? If this awesome, majestic, high up there God had not also come down and condescended to us and reached down to us to help us in our need. The hymns that I've chosen for today were chosen for a reason. They were chosen to help all of us be amazed at this wonder of our Christian faith. That God, as great and as high and as lofty and majestic as he is, nevertheless stoops down to help us in our needs and to lift us up. And so in the sermon hymn that we just sang, we marvel that God sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. And then right after the sermon, we're going to sing a hymn that always gives me goosebumps. We usually sing it during communion, and I'm glad for this opportunity to sing it with you today. Because we are going to sing of Christ our God to earth descending, coming down to us through ranks and ranks of angels, and how from the realms of endless day He comes the powers of hell to vanquish. And then in the closing hymn this morning, we're going to sing praise to you and adoration, blessed Jesus, Son of God, who to serve your own creation came to share our flesh and blood. I love this about our hymns. You know, so many of the contemporary Christian songs extol God's majesty. Like a song by Michael W. Smith, I think it's called I Want to See You. And it goes, He's high and lifted up, and we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And everybody wants to wave their hands and think about the majesty and the awesomeness of God and how powerful He is. And we have a friend in high places, Holy, 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 high and lifted up. But what that song never gets around to is reminding us that that one way up there came way down here to help us in our need, to become our Savior. Because that, is not that the greater glory of our God? That He came down from up there to be with us, to save us? Isn't that what Jesus prayed in His high priestly prayer when He said, Father, now glorify Your Son? And some people think that when Jesus prayed that prayer, glorify Your Son, what He was really saying was, Father, take me back to heaven. Put me back on my throne in my majesty and glory and my sovereignty. Lord, give me the power again. But no, when Jesus referred to His glory, He referred to His cross. Which is why, as He was drawing nearer and nearer to the day of His crucifixion, He said to His disciples, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. His glory is that from the heights of His majesty, He stooped down, way down, to the depths of our depravity. And He became our sins. And He became the curse of our sins. And He bore it all to the cross. His glory is that He came down to be our Savior. That's His glory. Not that He's up there. That He's here with us to be our Savior. By taking our poverty upon Himself, He became poor for us. He took our debt to God and took that debt to the cross and He paid it off so that in Him we might be rich. Rich in His mercy. Rich in His grace. Rich in His forgiveness. Rich in the destiny that He sealed for us in His blood. By dying our death and rising from our grave, He lifts us up out of the ash heap of our own graves. By coming as a servant, He sets us up high among the princes of His people to reign with Him forever and ever. And by taking our barrenness upon Himself, He sets us into His family forever. Forever into His family. And so the psalmist calls forth the praise of God. Praise the Lord, he says. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. In light of all of this, may God forever put away from us all pride and prejudice and arrogance. I cannot boast in anything except my Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified. He is my glory. His love crowns my head. His righteousness is my dress. His gospel is my shield, my defense, my joy, and my salvation. As one for whom the Savior stooped down, way down here, to die, how can I ever think of myself as better than you in any way? How could I ever treat you with anything less than love? But I resolve instead to be an extension of His love, to help the poor in their distress, to comfort the childless, to feed the orphan, to lift up the needy, because that is the religion that is pure and undefiled before God. Because stooping down to help somebody else in their need is a reflection of what God did for me when He came down from way up there, way down here, to be our Savior. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, that is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.